Today's scripture comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 11 through 26. And I'll be reading from the Message version of the Bible, and it reads just a little different than the NIV or what we typically read from. Then I took a good look at everything I'd done, looked at all the sweat and hard work. But when I looked, I saw nothing but smoke and spitting into the wind. There was nothing to any of it, nothing. And then I took a hard look at what's smart and what's stupid. What's left to do after you've been the king? That's a hard act to follow. You just do what you can, and that's it. But I did see that it's better to be smart than stupid. Just as light is better than darkness. Even so, though the smart ones see where they're going and the stupid ones grope in the dark, they're all the same in the end. One fate for all, and that's it. When I realized that my fate's the same as the fool's, I had to ask myself, so why bother being wise? It's all smoke, nothing but smoke. The smart and the stupid both disappear out of sight. In a day or two, they're both forgotten. Yes, both the smart and the stupid die, and that's it. I hate life. As far as I can see, what happens on earth is bad business. It's smoke and spitting into the wind. And I hated everything I'd accomplished and accumulated on this earth. I can't take it with me, no. I have to leave it to whoever comes after me. Whether they're worthy or worthless, and who's to tell, they'll take over all the earthly results of my intense thinking and hard work. Smoke. That's when I called it quits. I gave up on anything that could be hoped for on this earth. What's the point of working your fingers to the bone if you hand over what you've worked for to someone who never lifted a finger for it? Smoke. That's what it is. A bad business from start to finish. So what do you get from a life of hard labor? Pain and grief from dawn to dusk, never a decent night's sleep, nothing but smoke. The best you can do with your life is have a good time and get by the best you can. The way I see it, that's it, divine fate. Whether we feast or fast, it's up to God. God may give wisdom and knowledge and joy to his favorites, but sinners and assigned have a life of hard labor and end up turning their wages over to God's favorites, nothing but smoke and spitting into the wind. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks. Isn't that the most depressing thing you ever heard in your life? In fact, the whole book of Ecclesiastes has been called by some the most pessimistic piece of literature ever written in all of literature. And yet, it's also been called one of the most realistic. Today's reading from chapter 2 that Ray just read for us lays out the main idea for the entire book of Ecclesiastes. It's a wonderful read if you ever get a chance to sit down and read it from opening to closing chapters 1 through 12. It's a fascinating book. But the main idea that the writer is trying to make here today is that everything in life ultimately is hopeless, pointless, meaningless. In some translations, they use the word vanity. Now, that's not vanity in the sense of being prideful. It means meaningless. Meaningless. Peterson, you got to love Eugene Peterson's translation. He calls it all smoke and spitting into the wind, or chasing after the wind. That's life without God. Without God, all these things are true about life. According to the writer, and it's possibly Solomon, the best we can do in life is to eat, drink, and have a good time, and to accept it as God's gift to humankind, life. But that's it. If anybody needed the Easter message, it's this dude, don't you think? This is my third message of seven. As we look at in our small groups meeting throughout the week, the study by Dr. Ellsworth Callis, Easter from the Backside. And this is certainly about as backside of Easter as you can possibly get. And I hope that you enjoyed this study in your small groups this week. And today I want to just pick up on a few themes that we came up with in the Wednesday morning study. As I read today's passage along with the other 11 chapters of Ecclesiastes, it got to me thinking about my own life. From time to time, I do have these moments. These moments where I just slow down, which is very rare, turn off the cell phone, which is even rarer, and just think about my life. To think about my life as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, as I think about my future, my past. I think about all I've done. I think about today's writer and wonder, like him, is this all there is to life? Is this all there is to life? I mean, is life all about getting up each morning, getting dressed, going to work, paying the bills, doing all the things that we do, enjoying a few pleasures here and there, then retiring and dying? Is that what life is all about? I think about my 11 years in preparing for the ordained ministry, beginning going back to school at age 40. To get where I believe God was calling me to be 11 years later, to be an ordained elder in the Methodist Church. And then I think about retirement in a few years, in about 10 years, as we finish up the superintendency. What's after that? I think about, will I have enough money to retire on? We tried to take care of some things by buying a home and preparing for retirement, but we don't know what that's going to mean in 10 or 11 years. Or will I have to work to mandatory retirement age of 72. Who knows? Don't get me wrong, though. I love my life. I love what I do. I can't imagine myself doing anything but ministering to God's people, to being a minister, a pastor, an administrator, and so forth. But none of this would have any meaning at all without God. Without God. Because I believe that God is the one who called me. Well, before that, God was the one that breathed life into me and all of us when we were born. He knit us together even before that in our mother's wombs. And God is the one who has called me into the ministry and put me where I am today here with you at Bethel Church. The difference is that I have a plan, I have a purpose, I have a vision, I have a calling. And so life is meaningful to me. But I'm getting ahead of myself. That's not the case for the writer of Ecclesiastes today. So many people in our culture today do not have any of this. To them, life is like the little boy who got up on Easter morning and ran downstairs to his Easter basket full of that green plastic grass, and there in the midst of his Easter basket is this huge chocolate bunny. And he grabs the bunny, and he goes to take a big bite out of one of the ears, and guess what? It's hollow. There's nothing there. It's all air inside. He's shocked and disappointed and, of course, disillusioned. Why? Because it's hollow. That is the way many people see life, including our writer today. Unfortunately, this is the experience of so many in our culture today. Their lives they're empty. They're futile. They're hollow, meaningless, disappointing, and of course, they become disillusioned. Many today are reaching for the brass ring, so to say, grasping for the good life of material wealth and pleasures and power and possessions, only to find, like the little boy, it's hollow. It's meaningless. It's smoke and chasing after the wind. The problem here for the writer of Ecclesiastes and for many in our culture today is that they believe that this life is all there is to life. This is what it's all about. This is the end of it all. And they end up asking themselves, is this it? Is this as good as it gets? Is this all there is? The writer of Ecclesiastes even says he hates his life. Why? He says because whether you're stupid or smart, rich or poor, everybody ends up the same way. Dead. We all die. He hates all of his accomplishments and all that he's accumulated. He's been the king. He's had thousands of servants and multitudes of property and all the wealth, if it was King Solomon, But yet he says it's all hollow. It's all empty. Why? Because it's just going to end up going to others who neither earned it or who toiled for it and who don't deserve it and may just squander their inheritance after all his hard work. And he asks, is this what it's all about? But even this poor soul, in the midst of his disillusionment, writing these words some 3,000 years ago, gets a glimpse, a glimmer of Easter. He concludes this chapter and the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 with these words, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of everyone." Fear God and keep his commandments. That is the whole duty of everyone. In other words, he's saying life is meaningless, hopeless, empty, hollow, all smoke and mirrors, spitting into the wind, if God is not part of that life. Did you hear me? Did you hear that? Without God, everything is meaningless, empty, and hopeless. Now, I grant you, Ecclesiastes is not an easy read. Nor was it easy to find Easter in the midst of this. Did you small groups find that difficult? I bet you did. But it is there. Even though it's pessimistic and negative, we must understand that it's also realistic. A realistic look at life in this world. All of this world, all of his words of futility lead us to one sure and certain truth, that true meaning in life, true fulfillment in life, true pleasure, true happiness cannot be found in the things of earth, but only in the one, capital O, who gives them meaning. True meaning in life is found in God alone. Life is meaningless. Life is hopeless, empty, and hollow if God's not in it. Truth be known, we can't even take our next breath if it were not for God, God's grace. All the knowledge, all the pleasures, all the work, all the relationships in life are all part of that smoke and chasing after the wind without God, the one who gives it real meaning. In other words, this life, the life that we live here in the world, good, bad, and ugly, must be seen in the light of Easter. And Easter is God's gift to humankind. Easter is God's yes to life's big no. Let me say it another way. There's more to life, this life and the life to come, that Solomon could not possibly know. But he knew that he was on to something. If you read the last part of this week's chapter, you find that Solomon was on to something. He knew there had to be more to life. He knew there had to be more to life than what he saw and what he experienced. And the same is true for us. That something is not a thing at all. That something is a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who gives life meaning. Jesus is the one who calls us to this table of thanksgiving today. Jesus is the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the one who said, "Those who love their life in this life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Jesus is the one who says, "Because I live, you will live also." Not just in eternity, but live fully today in this world and enjoy the blessings of God's love. And it was at this table that Jesus also said, "Do this," what we're about to do, "in remembrance of him," of what he did for us on that first Easter. We have the opportunity this morning to come to this table, and remember what Jesus did. To receive meaning, true meaning in life. But before we come to this table, we must examine our hearts and look to see if there is anything within us that is running interference in our full communion with God. And so we have the opportunity this morning to confess our sins before God and before one another as we prepare to partake of God's gift of bread and wine, representing His love and grace. Would you pray with me the prayer of confession on the screen? Loving God, You have sought to guide us to faithful living. Your heart aches with sadness as You see the divisions within Your human family. Every time we harm one another or take another's life or inflict pain or distress on another, You mourn deep inside Your hurting heart. Forgive us, remind us, restore us, and love us with such an amazing spirit that we turn fully to You and become the people You have called us to be in Your world. Amen. Please offer your own prayers of confession silently now for just a moment.